Welcome home. We are WNST. Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. I'm putting my water on the floor so I'm knocking all over the place. I got water all over the place
here. Yeah, I didn't spell
it. Viviano's left the place a mess. Water all over the place, just like Liberty Pure Solutions. They do my water, well water. Rasig doesn't have a well. He lives in the city. he's got well. They'll turn the water on. He's what he
yes.
We have well. We need Liberty Pure Solutions to make sure. You know, the water in the county sometimes can be a little funky like a monkey, and you need to have professionals. These are my professionals. Keep me feeling good, feeling hydrated, and good showers and all that stuff. But more than that, we're doing the oyster tour. We're going to have some oysters a little later on. Marcella's going to be here. Rasig is my co-host with a K. I don't know. How do we top Viviano? He's like a real broadcaster.
Oh, he was.
He lectured the hell out of me, didn't he?
He's a star. He's a star. You know. You,
retired.
And then you drop down to me. But, yeah, I'm happy to be here.
There's nobody I love more than you. You know this. We've talked about this many, many times. How are you feeling on the sports side of things? Because we're taping this the day before the Ravens play the Chiefs. So there's going to be a whole different temperature on Friday, one way or another.
Right.
But so we can do a little bit of football. I want to do more baseball with you anyway, because football will play itself out and we'll be there.
Right.
But if you're drawing cartoons right now for the old sports first, 40 years later, if you had to do a cartoon here to start the Ravens season, what would it look like for you? What are the Ravens in the mind of the greatest sports cartoonist I've ever known?
I mean, I was known for doing very busy cartoons. I would do a very busy cartoon of the Ravens. A very kind of
Zay Flowers would have lines behind him because he'd be really fast, right?
Scattershot. No, I think the story on the Ravens going in is, what do we have? You know, like there's a very
question marks.
A lot of question marks.
Okay,
a lot of coaches gone. Some by leaving. Some by tragedy. You know, it's going to be a very interesting beginning, and of course a beginning of a season that's very difficult team wise for the Ravens. They play four of their first five games are against four of the top quarterbacks in the league.
I keep and just good teams too
and good
just
teams.
Good teams
and good teams
and road games in Dallas and you know just
exactly
and big time, you know, we have arrived AFC championship game, bright lights. I mean, first game first, it doesn't get any bigger than Kansas City.
Nope.
But then the Buffalo game, I mean, you know, the Joe Burrow thing. I mean, the Burrow-Lamar thing, and Luke alluded to this earlier in the week. It hasn't really gotten any oxygen the way Roethlisberger, Flacco did, because they haven't played each other enough. They haven't played key games. They both have had injuries in opposite years.
Right.
That has to become a thing, right?
I think we have to
hate Joe Burrow here. We don't do that yet.
You know, I hate him for the way he just drills us every time he not really hate him.
He's like Elway. I love him. He's swashbuckling.
No,
he's
my kind of quarterback. I do appreciate him. I do appreciate him. But I root hard against him because he's done a number on our secondary.
I wouldn't say that about Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, that they're my kind of guy.
But not at all.
I like Burrow. I'm a Burrow guy.
No, I do also like him too. I had him on my fantasy team. So, I mean, that's another aspect of this that I don't know if you've talked about that at all, but it's fantasy football season now too, and I know I run a big neighborhood knockout pool. I don't know if you've been in any of those.
I know about all these.
It's gonzo, and so there's all of that too.
And then there's real gambling.
And then there's real gambling on top of all of that. So it's just a crazy time. I was telling someone the other day that, you know, a lot of people just watch. They'll watch any football game. It doesn't matter if it's their home game.
If they can find it.
If you can find it.
On Friday night, if we can get Peacock.
Well, right, exactly. Friday night football. That's crazy.
Chen and I are like, where the hell? We got to get your Peacock right. Where am I going to watch the game?
Right.
They got Peacock at Coco's? I don't think so, you know?
I don't know. I watched some of my Olympics on Peacock, so I appreciated having access to Peacock during the Olympics. But, no, it's a crazy time of year, and then you've got the Orioles, who are – you know, in the thick of things. It's a heck of a pennant race. It's been a bumpy ride lately, but, you know, maybe they're going to come together and maybe they're going to get hot at the end like the Rangers did last year and surprise some people. So
I'm 40 years into knowing you and 33 years into having you on the radio show. I mean, I don't know the first time you did my radio show, but I'm sure it was 92, 93, WITH. I'm sure it was
probably.
I mean, it was very, very big. You were a listener before anybody listened. You,
sure.
You and my mother were the only ones listening back in the day. So do you remember Summer in the Garage? Do you remember the Garage Summer when I had to do the show in the garage?
I do remember that you did some shows in the garage.
That was Summer 92.
Summer 92. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So that was 32 years ago now.
Wow.
I've never thought when I have you on, like, you're my pal. We've talked sports and we've traveled. We've been in planes and trains and all this stuff together. But, like, I never think to ask you, draw me a cartoon in your mind out loud with words. Because offense. I know you're a genius, but I don't spend time with you kissing your ass and calling you a genius. But once Robbie called you a genius last night after 40 years, I thought to myself, I loved you first because of your cartoon work, right? Like, I loved your cartoons and your sense of humor, and you were such a – it was very obvious how much you knew about sports by the busyness of your cartoons. And I think that that's part of the sports radio part of you that I probably don't tap into, to say, if you're going to draw a cartoon of the Orioles right now, what does it look like? Well, it's a bullpen with a rain cloud over top of it, right? Everybody's got bandages on. You know, like, I'm trying to think like you as to how you would portray the Orioles right now, because they are troubled, but the sun is still shining. They can still easily win the World Series.
Of course they can win the World Series.
Yes.
I mean, and I feel like they're going to be there at the end. That's just my Baltimore-ness now. You know, I feel like they're going to be in the World Series with the Phillies.
You're having confidence.
That's my prediction.
They're going to figure a way. Eflin, Suarez are going to figure this out.
I came here in 83. You know, the Orioles won the World Series over the Phillies. I like that rematch and that symmetry for this year. So it'll be – It's buckle up, you know, like this should be fun.
I've had you out like once a year, every year here, maybe twice a year at Coco's, but I remember sitting with Ron Cassie maybe 2 years ago.
Right, yeah.
And it was just sort of coming to life. Now, maybe Cassie was last year. 2 years ago, it was Dave Shinen. It was just sort of coming to life. And I said, who's going to win the World Series first, the Orioles or the Ravens? Shinen said neither, because it's too hard to do, right?
Yes.
It's just very hard to do, to either win either one, right?
Yes.
And to think of 2 years later, you got your ball caps, looks like it hadn't been washed 2 years. I love it.
Yeah.
The cap guy, right?
Right, yes.
That's not well, – I'm not far off, right? I mean, it really has played out that the baseball team, despite the injuries and whatever, first place, here we are, right? The football team didn't win last year but had an AFC championship game and Lamar won. You know, like, we're riding around on that carousel, catcher in the rye. We can feel that brass ring. You're reaching for it, right?
We're there.
And that's different, I think, than being a prick sports cartoonist writing about a carpet-bagging owner stealing the team, right? Or Angelo's, you know, whatever. I mean, the cartoon part of prosperity and hope amidst clouds of the offensive line, clouds of the bullpen, you know, that's a different kind of cloud when you're a great team. And
I
these
mean,
are two great teams.
I would say this as a cartoonist, you know, you can do funnier cartoons about – you know, negative type things. That's just
like Southside Chicago cartoonist, right?
Sure, of course. The Southside Chicago cartoonist. There is no more sports cartoonist, but if there was one, you know, he would be having a ball with the White Sox. Me, you know, as a fan now, you know, I would enjoy the prosperity part of the cartooning. You know, I would find creative ways to have fun with the success that both the teams have.
Would you draw Jackson Holliday as a little leaguer? I mean, you're an over the top.
I think he would be fun. I think he would be fun to draw. Yeah, he does look like a little leaguer. There's no question about it. You know, so sure, I think
he looks like he's in the Bad News Bears. He looks like the uniform doesn't fit.
He really does.
You know,
he does. The first time I saw him, I was just saying, wait a minute, this is our guy. You know, like, but I think, you know, give him a year or two, and he's going to be, you know, a heck of a player. He's turning into a good player.
They also have
now
good names. Gunner.
Gunner.
Holiday. Right. Rutschman. Rutsch in the clutch.
Right. Exactly. No. This is a
Slim Povich. You know, they have nicknames. Tony Taters. Right.
Right. I mean, Tony
come on.
Taters, of course.
What more do you want from these guys?
It's like the way the Phillies were in 83. They had a bunch of
you
kind
could
of
draw
characters.
James McCann, his face all messed up from the right. From the, you know.
That's right.
This is they this team has some character.
This team has a lot of character, young character that hopefully will be with us for a while. I think I would have a lot of fun with this Orioles team. I wish I was still drawing, you know, Oriole cartoons in a publication right now. It just hasn't worked out that way.
We're going to do the sports first thing all these years later. Yeah, I'm going to get you too misty about this because we've talked about the neighborhood and your life. You've lived here almost all the 40 years you've been here in this neighborhood. I love coming. It's one of my favorite places in the city. I mean, anytime my son's like, we get lunch, hey, go to Coco's. Let's go to Coco's. We meet halfway, you know. And I know, I feel like I know everybody here. But Sports First brought you to Baltimore. And I think we're going to do this thing 3 weeks from now on the 40th anniversary of the demise of the News American and Sports First with some old friends. But you stayed. Yeah, you mentioned in the last thing with Viv that I was a guy who's from here. I'm still here. I never left. All I ever wanted to do was leave. You saw those resumes I tried sending out in the 80s to get a newspaper job. I never left. You never left. You came here and Eisenberg never. So many of you never left.
Right. I mean, for me, I was a freelancer, so I could live wherever I wanted. We were already here. We had our kids in schools here.
Cracked Magazine.
I did Cracked Magazine at the time, too. So I made my living as a freelance cartoonist, including with the newspapers. So, and it went from Sports First, then I stayed on to the News American, did cartoons for them. Then when it folded, you know, Molly Dunham and Jack called me up and said, we'd like you to do three cartoons a week.
Dude, I think you were at our place the first, like the paper folded May 30th or 1st or whatever. You were in the newsroom like June 3rd, I think. Like you became you never left me. It was 5 months after I left.
So great to do stuff for the Evening Sun. I
used to drive it down every night. I used to meet you, so I used to be the one getting it every night.
I actually got to know people on that staff because I had to drive it down and present the cartoon.
Sometimes your cartoon would wind up on my agate page. It would be a hole on my agate page. But we did page two. We had page two was where all the columnists were.
Yes,
the Evening
that's
Sun.
Right.
And you had the big cartoon there 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they gave me a lot of
space
for it.
35 years, and I can remember this. I can't remember what I had for lunch
today. I've got a giant bin of these cartoons somewhere in my house. So, you know.
Oh, I got bad news. Do you know our former morgue member at the News American Library, was his name Penkillo? Tom Penkillo? He passed away this week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I have an image of who he was. Glasses, too?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, right.
He was the librarian.
Yes.
We called him morgue.
I know who you're talking about.
He was the
about.
Librarian. He passed away this week. Huh. And I saw this.
Sad.
And I was asked by Robbie, the guy who gave me my first job at the News American. He wanted to know if the microfiche exists from the News American. And I told him, I mean, my God, the man who would have been in charge of all that died this week. But the microfiche and the News American and Sports First, other than you having some random copies.
Right. I have some copies of it. That's it.
Do you know that
it's a T-shirt. I'll try to wear my T-shirt.
The yellow?
Yeah, the yellow. I have that T-shirt somewhere.
Oh, man. Come on.
I have to dig it up, but I know I have it. So, yeah.
If it fits me, I'll wear it for like a week on the air.
Okay.
Wear it. If it doesn't smell bad.
I might smell bad.
Come on, man. I'll wash it, man. Come on. Mike Ricciano.
Remember, it had the one in the logo.
Yeah, the first. Yeah. The F1RST.
And remember that the whole idea behind it was they were going to put, that's why they call it Sports First. They put
sports
on the
first
front cover.
Right.
And the weather map.
It was
and
a New York
News
Daily News, New York Post, Philadelphia. It was a tabloid Sports First, but it had the weather in the back and three pages of like the news in the back.
Right, and it had
Stocks in the back.
It was color because it was, you know, USA Today at the time was hot, so there was color, a color cover, a color weather map. Well, those were the two things that were color, and then I think not many color photos beyond that.
No.
But I have great stories that I'll tell.
I'm going to come and grab them all from you because I want to hold them up.
Okay,
when
I
get done here, I'll stop over and try to get them from you. You have to find them.
I got to find
them. All right,
them.
I have a couple. I have one or two.
I'll find them.
My very first byline was a story I wrote about Warren Spahn.
Nice.
I called Warren
from
Spahn.
From Buffalo, by the way.
Really?
Originally from Buffalo. Yeah.
Really?
He's one of Buffalo's finest, you know?
I'll probably tell the story in the piece, but Tom Robinson said, we're going to give you your first byline. And he said, I want you, if you can get any of these people on the phone and do a story, I'm going to let you write. It was like a college assignment, you know?
Yeah.
So I literally, he gave me a list of Hall of Fame players. Enos Slaughter was one of the other ones. I interviewed Enos Slaughter.
Yeah.
I interviewed Harvey Keene.
Okay.
So, but nonetheless, he gave me a list of players. And they told me that Mickey Mantle lived in Oklahoma. So I went down to the newsroom, and I dialed 1-555 blah 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 blah, and I said, "Oklahoma information, please." Yeah. Hello, Oklahoma information. Do you have a spawn? S P? No, excuse me. I was 15. Do you have a spawn? S P? Spawn? S P A H N? Warren. Oh, yes. Yes, here's the number. Would you like to? They didn't have the little thing where you hit it. It says 615-555. So I wrote the number down, and I called. Hello? Hi, I'm trying to reach Mr. Warren Spahn. My name's Nestor Aparicio. I'm a sports writer with Sports First in Baltimore. Well, this is Warren Spahn. How are you, young man? You know, so, and I did a story, and I wrote it.
Oh, man, that's so
great. And that
great.
Began my career.
Wow. I mean, he is one of the – I think he's – is he the winningest left-handed pitcher of all time? I think he won 363 games.
Because in the Bad News Bears, the second Bad News Bears or the third Bad News Bears, one of the kids said he was Spahn on the mound.
Ah, right.
And in 1978, I had to, like, say to my dad, who was Spahn, you know?
Spahn
and my
Sane.
Dad's like, we're going to get you a baseball card. You know, Spahn and Sane and pray for rain.
That's my dad. Pray for rain. That's exactly right, yeah. I mean – Great pitcher, really, really. And like I said, a Buffalo guy. So
can I just – I want to kiss your butt a little more because you are a sports cartoonist genius. Do you realize how much about sports you know? I mean, maybe you might even underestimate your own true expertise. I mean, in my own way, when I talk to other people about sports, it's always different. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful or like a jerk. I know more about this because it's all I've ever done. It's all I've ever studied. It's all I've ever and I talked to Leonard Raskin about him with money, managing money.
Right.
And he's like, this is all I've ever done is manage money. That's why I'm better at it than you. And I'm thinking, well, that's probably why you listen to my radio station 40 years into this. And I think of that when I think of you and the people I met at the paper.
Sure.
They all were so smart about so many things, and it was such a gift to me. And I told this to Dan Rodericks, and I said, it was such a gift to me to be a young, smart ass, but wanted to learn and wanted to know things and didn't know it all, knew a lot, but wanted to know more. And having people like you around, all of you,
right.
It was just such a gift to
Rodericks
me.
Rodericks himself is another, like, treasure trove of sports. He knows, I've had discussions with him about sports, and he brings out all kinds of old names. A lot of it is baseball card collecting.
Sure.
A lot of it is growing up in a family where my dad loves sports. And, you know, you probably had a similar situation.
My father loves sports.
Yeah. And so that was my connection with my dad, was talking sports with him. So if you, you know, in my family, if you wanted to connect with my dad, you had to talk sports. And myself and my youngest brother were the two sports, real sports fans in the family. And the other two brothers, not as much, you know. And I think my passion for sports was there. Then my sports.
It's never waned, though. You're watching the game tonight. You'll watch eight football games all weekend. You're building your Sunday around a game. Right,
and I do get into the fantasy football and baseball stuff. Like, I have done it for many, many years.
That's how I babysat your kids.
Yeah,
you knew
right.
Todd Froworth. You literally knew Todd Froworth.
So you do get a knowledge of a breadth of all of the sports teams when you play these kind of games. Fantasy games, you get a weird perspective on games because you're sitting at a game and your pitcher is pitching against the Orioles and you don't want him to get clobbered if he's on your fantasy baseball team, but you're really rooting for the Orioles. So you're really rooting there for a 2-1 game.
That's why
I never play
fantasy sports. I mean, people say to me,
it's a very good reason
you
not
play
to play
in my fantasy. I'm sure you invited me in your fantasy leagues. And,
I mean, I've played in your Stratomatic League.
Dude, 33 years into this, right? Yeah. Everybody's invited me to their fantasy league, and
right.
I've never, ever, ever, ever. I played Stratomatic with you 35
yeah.
years ago. I've never played fantasy sports.
Right.
I don't bet on sports. I don't think it's like it's. Just, I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't think anybody's smart enough to bet on sports. But I think the fantasy thing for me was always, well, I have a fantasy team. They're the Ravens. When they win
sure.
on Sunday, I win. When they, I don't want Ben Roethlisberger to be my fantasy quarterback. I just don't.
That's such a good
That's the way I didn't look at it.
On fantasy sports.
I watch sports all the time. I never bet on it. I like talking about it. I like the strategy of it. I like the people I've met over 40 years of doing it. But, like, wanting to, like, build my own team and think that I'm smarter than everybody else.
I bet you Viv has
and
a
have some,
team. I should have asked
him. What do you win? Do you get some trophy? Is it a mystical relic? What is it?
We have an amazing trophy in our one league in New York, and I've won it a few times. And we have a full day of activities. There's all kinds of goofy awards that I make. My brother sings at the event. So it's a full day activity.
What does he sing?
He does spoofs. He makes spoofs about our league, and he has dressed up like Elvis and like Johnny Cash and Billy Joel and whatever. And he does a fantastic job at it, and it's very fun.
You've lived a better life than me because you're just friggin' happy. You're just always happy. You're always smiling.
Oh, you have traveled. We are envious of the way you guys travel. It's real. We strive for your kind of travel.
Dude, I saw you running around Argentina, and I see you running around with these grandkids. I love you, man. I want to let you get back to Terry. I know
okay,
you guys
great.
Are. He's a beautiful day. You got baseball tonight.
We're gonna enjoy it.
I'll come back in a couple months and I'll have you back.
Okay, great.
We're gonna win the World Series, right?
I think we're gonna win the World Series. That's my vibe, man. Like I'm going with it. Let's go. Let's go.
I love that you have the early 70s Orioles.
Get hot at the end, like the Rangers did last year.
I see that hat, I think Tommy Davis and Merv Rettman is what I think.
Ah, okay.
I think Tom Chopay.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to win it. With no bullpen, we're going to win this thing.
I'm going to attend the parade with you. Mike Rosigliano's here. He is the greatest sports cartoonist of our generation. He lives here in the neighborhood. He is semi-retired and managing it. You get it here. One for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I got to give Terry one as well. Maryland Lottery sends these out. These Gold Rush Sevens doublers. I've got the last batch. I will not have these next Friday at Coopers and Fells Point for the Oyster Festival. I will have the Raven scratch-offs. Oyster a day, every day. The first oyster of the Oyster Tour is about to happen at a place where they don't even serve oysters. I purposely came here today thinking like I was kicking the oysters off tomorrow because she didn't have an oyster. Marcella brought oysters. She's making me fried oysters today. So next segment, fried oysters.
Wow.
Maybe a crab cake to go. I already had some cream of crab soup.
Nice.
We're at Coco's. Don't get any better than this. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour.